You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
I'm on.
Not, yes, sir.
Does that mean you think I'm intelligent?
Well, I knew that you're intelligent.
Thank you very much, Abe.
That was my first thought when I met you.
Well, you know what? That's what I like about Dave. I set him up for this stuff, for the easy ones, and he knows right away what to say, so that I do appreciate that. 1-888-221-8990. That is a phone number. You're supposed to write that number down next to the phone because you're supposed to call in with questions that we can help you with, because Joe Martech Financial Advisor is here. Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, is here. Vince Rosino, CPA, is on his way here. He sent a text and said he's running late. And today is a big topic of conversation for him. I don't know if you know this.
I don't, but I'd love to know.
Well, the president and his team announced their tax plan.
Oh, yes.
And it's pretty dramatic. Now, how much of it's going to pass, or is it going to pass at all? I have no clue. But some of the things are very, very interesting, and I took some notes because I listen to CNBC as I'm driving around all day long, which is the business station. Mm-hmm. I've got it in the car. So tax reform is supposedly, have you listened at all, Mike, to some of the tax stuff?
I had like 2 minutes to spare, so I looked a little bit, and he's reducing it to 15%.
Here's what,
I'm going to move over here.
Hey, listen, live wherever you want. You don't want the air on your head?
It's cold.
Poor baby, I'm telling you. You tell he's a Floridian.
Yeah,
like if it's not 85, you know, I'm with you. If it's not 85, I'm not happy. Yeah. I mean, I want it. And I like the water being 85. I have Bahamas feet.
My pool's at 90.
And that's perfect.
I don't like it.
I have Bahamas fever so bad it's killing me. I'm going over June 17. You going over this year?
No, I think it's my wife's special birthday, and we are going on a special vacation.
Meaning where she wants.
Where she wants. That's another way of saying
that's
special.
Another way of saying that.
No, we're going to do Italy, and I'm looking forward to it. We're looking to do the Vatican.
Very good.
Yeah.
I've been to Italy twice, and Barbara, girlfriend of mine, 7 years, is Italian. They actually have streets named in her family and up in little mountain villages outside of Rome, about 100 miles outside of Rome.
Nice.
And she's going to sell her house, and we're going to go for 2 weeks, she says. I'm saying, I don't think so. I think we're going to go for a month. Because once you get there, you're never going to want to come back. Because Italy, the whole country should be a museum.
Yes.
I mean, it really should.
I read a unbelievable statistic. If you stopped for 2 seconds and saw every piece of art at the Vatican, it would take you over 12 years to see every piece of art for 2 seconds.
Yeah. Now, that's just the Vatican.
Yes.
All of Rome is a museum. Hmm. Every time you come to a roundabout, they've got what would be today $4 million worth of sculptures and who knows what it is. It's just breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you see. And then when you get out of Rome and you get away from all of that stuff, then you go to some of the most unbelievable geography you've ever seen along the Mediterranean, with hills and mountains and villages and walled villages. And
yeah, you know, my wife has planned this trip for like the last 6 months, and she's picked some really interesting places to go. And one of the towns we're stopping at is this little town called Ravenna. And it was the western capital of the Byzantine Empire for hundreds of years.
Neat.
And it has some unbelievable Byzantine mosaics, and I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Well, when you walk into churches over there, They're not really churches, they're cathedrals.
Yeah, by our standards here, yeah. By but they're just churches there.
They're just churches there. And every time, and in fact, it's Pastor Tom that says it. He says, you know, when he goes on his pilgrimages and takes people over, and they go primarily to Israel, he says, but you walk into one of these churches that took a generation to build. I mean, literally 30 to 50 years.
Oh, hundreds of years.
Sometimes hundreds of years. You read Pillars of the Earth. Did you ever read that book?
No, no.
Well, you might have heard. But it, I mean, literally, it becomes a lifetime thing to design, to build this church. And the stories, Pillars of the Earth, I'm sure is a fictionalized history. It took how long it takes to build this church, and it took the characters that were building it, and then as they're doing it. And we're going to do a phone call. Is that what you're saying? Guess what? We're doing a phone call. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Yep. How you doing? I had a question, Barbara.
Go right ahead.
And I was hello.
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was just wondering if I get together with another brother, another believer, and we do haircuts to the homeless who ride around like in a container, giving them showers. Can you have a nonprofit organization for that?
The answer is yes, but let me just tell you this. It is not that easy to do to form a nonprofit. The government doesn't like you right away when you do that.
Because they don't get any revenue.
They don't get any revenue from it. So right away, when you say, I'm going to start a nonprofit company, they go, uh-huh. How much salary are you going to take? Only $1 million a year. I mean, I'm picking on you, but here's the thing. There are attorneys that will specialize in this, but let me just say this. It would probably cost you, and I'm don't hold me to this, but in the realm of $1,000 to $2,000 to even talk to an attorney about starting a nonprofit, and it might take you 6 months to a year to get it approved, if you could get it approved. Now,
so 6 months if it gets approved.
Now, here's something else to think about. If you can find a nonprofit that is doing what you're doing right now, that already is in the business of doing what you want to do, and you...
Well, that's the thing. We don't have it yet. We it's just a plan, you know.
I understand. But what I would do
still,
is...
We're still trying to... We're trying.
Well, here's what I would do. Now, I don't know how to explore this exactly, but Vince, this caller's talking about starting a nonprofit.
Oh, okay.
And he wants to go around and help underprivileged people with bathing and grooming, et cetera, and to do this in a form of a charity. And he was wondering what it would take to start a nonprofit. And I said, boy, the government does not like people that want to start nonprofits. This is not the easiest thing in the world to do.
Wouldn't it be better to partner?
So is it impossible?
It depends on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. The application process is pretty extensive. It's probably a good... maybe 16-20 pages, where if it's simple, you could probably do it in easy form, which is about 4 pages. But the more sophisticated you are, the more you need to explain, and the more detailed you get, you'd have to fill out the long one. But it's a process, and not everybody gets approved, and it takes about 6 weeks to get it. And because I'm going through it right now with somebody who wants to do a not-for-profit.
Are they doing it with an attorney or on their own?
No, they're doing it on their own, basically. Yep, with my help.
Well, and it may work, and it may not.
I live in Palm Beach, and the amount of people that I see that are homeless on the street is incredible. And one of my brothers was just talking about how why go out to other nations or to other territories when we can start it here at home.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, here's another thing you might want to consider. There may be an organization, let's say in Oregon or California or Texas, doing exactly what you're saying, that's already approved. And you might be able to become a chapter of that and be an official and be able to...
Oh, so kind of like fit under somebody else's wing.
There you go. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how you're going to...
Oh.
I would probably get on the internet and just start researching... nonprofits.
Are there any organizations or companies that extend that invitation to, you know, small...
I've never seen
like
it done, but it doesn't mean it can't
people.
Be, because you have places like United Way and other very big charities.
There's
that have, they have them all over the place. They're in every city.
The only thing that I'm saying, when I look at, and I've heard people trying to start nonprofits before. Now, that doesn't mean their intentions were good. Some people try to start a nonprofit to try to scam the government. But if your intentions are good or if they're not good, I don't think the process is any easier or any harder. It's a very difficult process because the government's not going to make any money. And you're going to write off expenses because you're going to be taking money out of your pocket and other people's pockets to pay to help these people. And to you're going to have transportation. You're going to have to, there's expenses.
There's a lot of a potential for abuse, Joe, and it has been. And you're limited as to what the salaries of the officers can be because they're restricted as to how much you can pay. Because a lot of these places, they just opened them up and used them as piggy banks.
Sure.
You know, let me pay it out and then pay the salaries.
Is the people who have already been approved for these nonprofits are probably pretty guarded about losing that nonprofit status.
Yeah.
So whoever would go in partners with this individual would probably want to supervise the project of some sort.
Yeah.
Oh, they would become employees, Mike. They would not be able to run this thing autonomously. If they joined up with United Way, sure they have their...
But that's a monster. But there are other smaller...
I'm just saying, the principle applies.
Well, all churches are nonprofits.
Yeah,
so
all churches
it would be
are.
Better just to partner up with your local church or the church you attend.
Now, that's a great idea.
That too.
You know, I would, go talk to your pastor at your church and say, hey, this is what we want to do. And can we raise some money? And maybe we can talk to some of the parishioners about raising money. And then maybe the church will help, pay for the expenses. And then the church has to document what they take in and what they spend. Am I right, Dave?
Yes, they do.
Pretty much. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely,
so,
they do.
You know that? Honestly, you want to do the right thing, and I can hear it in you. I can hear it in your heart. You want to do the right thing to help people with some of your brothers in Christ. And this is the right thing to do. But in order to not get in trouble, having that umbrella over the top of you of a tax-free organization, a charitable institution, and when a church already has it, that's probably the smartest way to go. Mike, I think that's brilliant.
And also, you might be able to take advantage of some excess property that might be there. They may have a building or two that's empty that they might look to rent to you. The diocese would love to see that, I'm sure.
You know what's going to happen is, no matter what you do, when you start helping people, you're going to have to acquire some equipment. And as soon as you acquire some, you're going to need more. Then you're going to need more. And the more people you help, the more you're going to have. So I would probably, and Mike Paulus, mortgage broker, brought it up. I would probably go to your local pastor, whatever church you guys are working with. And if they don't agree, go to the next pastor. I mean, get some brothers in Christ that are not all in the same church and find one. Hey, Dave, you want to sponsor this one?
That's a good question.
Amen.
We got Dave, Pastor Dave, sitting here. And Dave is a pastor of a church, right?
Well, yeah, at this time.
David Briggs?
No, another David.
Another Dave. No, our producer here at the radio station, Pastor Dave, we call him, and that's because he is a pastor, and he pastors a church. But literally, here's what I would suggest. Talk to your pastor at your church first, and then when you get done with all of that, we've got your name and phone number. Sometime we can talk to you off, and Vince is working with somebody right now to start a nonprofit. In the next few weeks, maybe we can communicate and try to help you along with this.
Yeah,
okay,
absolutely.
That sounds great.
Hey, we appreciate the call and appreciate your thought and what you're trying to do. And like you said, there's a lot of people that need help, and this would be a wonderful thing to do.
Yeah.
All right, my man. Thanks for calling. Call back and keep us informed on what you're doing. We'll try to help any way we can.
Thank you. I love the show, by the way. And if you guys are going to touch on any subjects about today's news briefings, I'm all ears.
That's my next subject.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you, caller.
1-888-221-8990. So I took notes today.
Did you? What are you notating over there?
Well, here's what happened. Mike said he listened to only.
This is good because now he won't go off the off track here.
Okay, so
stay tuned.
Let me give you a thought. We got Vince Rosino, CPA, sitting
Thank
here.
Thank you. I'm a little late. I apologize. But I had something I had to take care of.
Better late than never. Double the standard deduction.
Yes.
35% top bracket. No deduction, no itemized deductions except for housing and charity. Everybody in New York, California, Massachusetts, Connecticut's going to love this one.
Scream.
No deduction for state income
They'll
taxes.
Scream.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to happen.
15% tax businesses.
That's not going to happen either, but it sounds wonderful. I hope it does.
I can't even read my writing.
You know what? He's a master negotiator, and this is the first salvo.
Yes.
Let's bring it in at 15%.
I don't think he expected to get everything he wanted.
No.
Well, they're going to have a one-time tax to bring money back into the country.
Yes, the repatriation tax.
And yeah. Only going to be three tax brackets, 10, 25, and 35.
It's a beautiful thing.
Now, the other thing that they were saying, the concept of 15% business tax. So now they were saying, well, everybody and their brother is going to become a business overnight, because you can go form an LLC and have a 15% tax rate. And if your income tax rate's 25, you just took a lower rate because it's a pass-through today.
Well, see, that's the key, Joe. The key is the pass-through rate, because right. Most of the businesses formed today are pass-throughs. Right. They're either LLCs or they're S-corporations and the like. I'm talking about the average business.
I understand.
And the smaller
right.
business, not the Fortune 1000.
Oh, yeah.
And in that case, you're really going to be everything flows down to you, so your rate on your level is basically what you're going to be paying. So if they lower those individual rates down and they allow the business income to fall into those categories like they do now, it'll be a great thing.
Well, they got the three brackets are 10%, 25, and 35. Mm-hmm. That's the three brackets.
And how do they fall in the income spectrum that we get into that?
I didn't hear that. But I'm sure it'll all be published.
That's a key component.
Yeah. Well, no kidding.
Yeah. Well, it's 10% for the first 10,000. Yeah. Okay.
Well, $24,000 deduction, no tax.
Well, that's a good thing. So it helps the people on the lower end.
First 24, no tax. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're self-employed or working in your own business, that doesn't eliminate Social Security or Medicare.
And I would think that they wouldn't touch that. If anything, they'd want to raise it.
Tax, quote, even though people, they have Social Security income taken out of their paychecks, as far as they're concerned, it's a tax, but as far as the government's concerned, it's not, right?
Absolutely. They look at, well, you see, that's the problem. The problem is that a lot of people, especially of our age and a little young, have been paying in for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And so now you expect something back, right?
You're kidding.
And yeah, you know, you've been paying into Medicare.
I won't hold my breath.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? This all ties together. And I was going to say, I like all the concepts, and because I applaud him for trying to do all this,
right,
and I hope and pray that he does.
Right.
However, the economic realities are going to set in at some point in time.
Well, you got two things that happen. One, all of this is what's proposed.
Right.
Politically, I mean, you know there's going to be, listen, I love this. Let's take the biggest political group in America, the Northeast, is the highest taxed group. New York,
California,
Connecticut,
exactly.
Then throw in California. Now we have upset every single person in all of these states, because what is it? I don't know which state's paying a 9% tax rate.
Oh, well, it's higher. Well, New York is max is
8.8.
In California, it's up to 13.
No.
State tax.
State tax.
This is not federal tax.
Yeah.
It's just state. So, there'll be a lot of upset people, because what they've done over the years is they've been subsidizing the people in these high-cost, high-housing states. High cost of housing, like the Northeast, West Coast. Some of the high, even up in Chicago.
And these are monster population blocks.
And you have monster voting blocks.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So really, if you say to these people, we're not going to let you take that deduction anymore, but we're going to give you a little tax break over here. Here's the problem with that whole notion. You're moving a little closer to this one flat tax rate system. And once you start eliminating that, then it's too easy, Joe. Too easy to raise that ratchet a little bit. All right. This year it's 15, next year it's 17, and maybe 2 years from now it's 20.
I disagree. I think a flat tax is what's needed, and I think everybody should pay a certain percentage.
See, I think it should be a value added tax.
Oh, I like that idea too.
I agree with that. Here's what happens.
I'd rather have a national sales tax if I'm going to do
that.
That is a national sales tax. It's not a national
sales tax. It is too.
No, it is.
National sales tax means everything in the world that is consumed.
If you don't buy it, you don't pay it.
You don't buy it, you don't pay.
If your sales tax, whatever you buy, you pay.
Wait a minute. So how are you going to eat if you don't buy? You going to grow vegetables in your backyard?
You never know.
There's no tax on those anyway.
You never know.
What I'm trying to say is, how can you... Everything in the world we buy at the grocery store, at Ace Hardware, at Walmart, I don't care where you go.
I just think that you're never going to get that through without getting rid of the income tax. I think
you got to have one.
Oh, we can't have them both.
Oh.
You're not going to eliminate the income tax altogether.
That's not going to happen. I think you have a better chance of getting a flat tax through.
We have both today. We have excise tax. We have value-added tax. We have sales tax. We've got all the taxes involved, plus income tax.
Yeah, I mean, but they don't call it a value-added tax.
I know.
Not in a traditional sense.
I know.
Not like what they have in Europe.
No, but the bottom line is we've got them all. There's, you know,
well, heck, if you add all your taxes, Joe, you're probably paying 50% or greater in taxes. Between
you are.
Your federal tax.
Oh, you are.
We don't have a state tax, but you have sales tax, you have excise tax.
Okay, buy a gallon of gas, right? How much of that gallon of gas is in a form of tax? Big chunk.
Yeah, a big chunk.
Buy a pack of cigarettes. I don't smoke. You don't smoke. You don't smoke. But you are a smoker today. You're paying $5-6 a pack. How much of that is taxed? The majority.
The majority of it, yep.
I mean, it goes on and on and on and on. The amount of taxes that people are paying on top of the cost of the product is a staggering amount of money. So anyway, that's what was proposed today. And whether things happen or don't happen, it's going to be interesting.
I find it interesting, though, because, you know, I heard a couple of economists predict that this could raise the GDP by 1%.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then, you know, you've also created more income tax.
Well, you also, if you lower the bracket from 39 to 35, they say here comes an offset for those high-making money makers in New York. So they give up 8 or 9 and then get 4, right?
This is the trickle down. I like to see the trickle down.
Yeah, listen, the interesting thing is we've been talking about tax reform as long as any one of us has been alive and longer, and no matter what they do, we always pick on Vince during tax time because the tax code gets simplified every year.
It's simplified. It's so simple. It's 73,000 pages.
73,000 pages, right?
You know, I have to plan my day. Cause I'm in the mortgage business, as everyone knows, but when I do a mortgage for a self-employed borrower, I have to plan the whole day just to take a look at his tax returns. Absolutely. And analyze what we could use to qualify.
Yeah, yeah.
And it shouldn't be that complicated.
You're right.
You know, that's the nature of the, you know what happens, Mike? It's not that we don't love attorneys because we just think they're the greatest necessity in the world. Okay, I think, Lord, I see the lightning coming out of the ceiling.
But I do see the national sales tax as more elegant. And I'll tell you why I think it is.
More elegant?
It's an elegant tax. And I'll tell you what.
Elegant.
It's more elegant than all the rest of
it. We're going to go to Elegante.
The reason is, if you are wealthier and you're buying big ticket items,
yeah,
you're buying
more boats,
you're paying more tax. It's a progressive tax, just like the rest.
And you know what?
Except
I like.
We also pull in all illegals into the mix.
Yes,
everybody's got to buy.
That's what I was trying to tell you. National sales tax.
Don't like. No, you said the VAT tax. I'm not crazy about a VAT tax.
I like sales tax.
Sales tax is a better, more elegant way to go.
Elegant. I like that. Elegante.
What do you think? You're Spanish?
Well, he's going to Italy. I'm trying to get him.
So you're going to Italy.
Beautiful. You know.
Yeah, good for you.
Prego. You know any Italian yet, Mike?
No.
You know? Okay. You better learn a few words anyway.
Okay.
I'll give you two.
I'm going to give you two real quick. You know, gracias.
watch your language.
This is Spanish. Over in Italy, it's just grazie.
That's right.
And instead of saying donata, you say prego.
Right.
Wait a minute. You got to roll your R. Prego. What's the little? Come on now.
Prego.
Okay.
Prego.
Now I can go.
This is the Joe Martech School.
It's not just an Italian spaghetti sauce that you buy at Walmart.
I'm just looking for some tortellini.
There you go.
Some Parma.
Depending on where you go, Mike, you might be disappointed. You got better Italian food here, I think, in the States.
How many times you been to Italy?
About 3 times.
And didn't you enjoy it each time?
The food was good, but not as good as I expected it to be.
There wasn't
a remarkable difference to me.
You went to the wrong restaurant.
Yeah, probably. I probably went to the touristy places.
Yeah, and that's the problem. You got to go.
This is
John Grisham wrote a book called Playing for Pizza. If you ever want to, between now and the time you go, you'll get a kick out of it. Did I ever tell you about this?
No.
This is a story. Not that I tell stories very often, but I'm going to tell you a story. So a football player who got bumped up during a Super Bowl, and the Super Bowl they're winning by 20-some points, and the first and second string quarterbacks got knocked out, and he's third string quarterback. And I will finish this story in a minute. Caller, it's Joe Martech. You're on the radio.
Hi. I have a question about nonprofit organization.
Go ahead.
How does one look into whether or not they're using it as a...
Did I lose you? I think, did we lose her?
Yeah, I think she's gone.
Must have hung up, but she can call back.
No, she probably lost in the signal.
But let's just talk about something there. Nonprofits have to file returns. Now, Vince, you know this better than me. If I have a nonprofit, I've got to take in X and I've got to pay out Y for the benefit of the nonprofit. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But isn't that Y very low? It's like 10% is a mandatory payout. The rest can
no,
be...
No, it's I don't think there's such a thing as the mandatory payout, but they do the reverse, Joe. They look at your expenses and they want to make sure you're not pulling it all out in salaries.
Yeah.
Or the majority's coming out in salaries. So they look at you... Because part of your filing is you actually detail out the operation. The programs now, that you're doing, the revenues and expenses of the program.
Now, to maintain your nonprofit status, though, you have to file...
File a Form 990 is what okay. you have to file.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. This is Anne-Marie Calderon. I had called you a while back, and I was talking about wanting to help my parents move down to Florida for their retirement.
Right.
And I wanted to ask about the benefits of a 55-plus community in reference to most properties as far as, like, my parents, you know, are on limited income. They would be selling their home most likely to be able to move down here. And I just was also inquiring because my father had spent time in the military as a veteran.
There you go. There you go.
Benefits and so forth. But I just was wondering if there's a way that there is like an assistance for them being senior citizens and any kind of thing like that.
Answer is yes. Your dad being a veteran.
Oh, I like the yes.
your dad being a veteran, there's a program, and I'm having a senior moment here, but it's got two words to it. If they qualify by, quote, lack of income, they can get up to $2,000, $2,400 a month from the VA to help them with these expenses. Now they pretty much have to be broke, but there are also variations that pay $800, $1,200, $1,600. It depends on their income. So what I would suggest you do is the VA's got a website. You can go on that and start doing some research. And when all else fails, if you can get a person to talk to at the VA, they might put, because this is a government program, and you okay. are a taxpayer, and your dad is qualified for this, and he is owed this if he qualifies for it. It is
okay.
like anything with the government, it is not the easiest thing to do overnight, but it can be accomplished. So what they're looking for is this. Let's say your dad only has Social Security income, and your mom only has Social Security income.
Okay.
The odds are pretty good they would qualify for a pretty good chunk of money each month. But if he has a pension, some savings, there's all kinds of different rules. But you need to call VA or the website or both and find out what they are and understand that I physically have run into a couple of circumstances where clients of mine did not qualify. But I know the benefit is over $2,000 a month if they qualify.
Okay. Would you be able to give me your phone number so that if I don't know if you could do it now, but so I could contact, you know, is there a specific person that I need to talk to regarding this?
No. The specific person is you're going to have to get a hold of the VA, the Veterans Administration.
Okay.
Go online.
Okay.
And just type in VA and the VA.gov will come up, and that's the website. And then
okay.
there's so many things that go, but I will give you my phone number, and this is my this is my personal cell phone number. And the only reason I give you this instead of the office, because I avoid the office like the plague. I'm not a good person for sitting in the office if I can avoid it.
Okay.
But the cell phone works 24 hours a day, no matter where I'm at. And that number is, are you ready?
Okay.
772-285-285.
Okay.
3083.
Okay.
And I'll help you any way I can, and I might be able to put you in touch with some people if I've got a good buddy of mine that's a retired veteran who also was a retired from the VA, and he and I discuss these subjects every once in a while when I either hear a scam coming along or something to make sure that people are not taken advantage of. So just file that away, and as you're progressing, once in a while, give me a call, and I'll see if I can help you along.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Joe, and God bless again for the gentlemen, all of you that help people. It's so wonderful to have that resource. I can't tell you. Thank you enough.
Well, thank you so much for telling
us. Thank you for calling.
Bye. You know, what I'm counting on, I know faith and faith alone are supposed to work.
Right.
But just in case I have demerits, I'm hoping that are being taken off by phone callers like that. I mean, I want to get on the bus, but I'd rather not be in the back in the rumble seat.
You won't need it to be saved, Joe, but it might put you in better standing.
Might put
later.
Me in better standing, yeah. right. Anyway, one.
Actually, the bottom line's already been taken care of by Jesus, okay? So you don't have to worry about that.
I don't have to
worry. You have him in your heart, you got it.
Well, just like one of my favorite clients. He listens to the show regularly, and he's an orchidist. You ever heard of an orchidist?
I'm not sure I have.
Well, nobody else has either. I think he may be the only one in the whole world, but he takes care of people's orchids.
Okay. Now that makes sense.
And he labeled himself an orchidist. So I was talking to him one day, and I said, you know, Dave, I hope Jesus has a sense of humor to put up with me. And he goes, Joe, he has to have a sense of humor to put up with you.
Absolutely.
If you don't laugh at yourself when you go look in the mirror in the morning, you know, because that... I'm not laughing anymore.
I'm crying.
This is not a pretty picture. You know, Dave, when's the last time you looked in the mirror and smiled?
Oh.
Okay, never mind that. Go ahead.
You mean I have to do both of those?
Well, there's a reason why we're all on the radio, not the
yeah,
TV.
That's right. On TV.
We have great radio faces.
We're really not bad-looking guys.
I love Dave, you know.
Can I throw a quickie in about...
You know, if he put lipstick on that pig, he'd think that's the cutest pig he's ever seen. Okay, anyway.
Well, a couple of callers had talked about nonprofits.
Right.
And I don't want to muddle in the rest of the conversation, but something I was reminded of something, because there's apparently a lot of people have an interest in this. Many years ago, I was a volunteer, then I became a staffer with a prison ministry in Orlando. And one of the things I used to do was grant writing, and so when I got to be with them, I needed some money.
Right.
And so back then, my resource was the research section in the library, you know, where you
right.
go.
Right, sure.
And they have a book, they have probably a lot of books, but there's one that has a complete list of all of the private foundations and what they give money for.
Very good.
And there's a lot of things, and many of them are Christian-based, a lot of things that if you're an existing 501(c), meaning, you know, you have that tax exemption from the federal government, the right. IRS, and you have something of a track record into what you're doing in your ministry, a lot of these grants will take a look at your... these foundations, rather, will take a look at your grant requests. You may not get all the money you want, but if you don't look at it, you don't get anything.
Of course.
Yeah. Well. So I recommend for people that...
Now, is 501(c)(3) is the official category for a nonprofit, correct?
Right. That's one of many.
One of many.
One yeah. of many.
But
that's the most popular one for charity.
But I think the key is this. Even if it was a church, let's just take your church, Dave.
Right.
If you had a ministry doing what this young man said, going out and feeding or cleaning or bathing or whatever mm-hmm. it is, poor people, that's a whole separate entity outside of the church. It may be a part of your focus. But right. there may be grant money specifically to do certain things like
it's
that.
It's possible. I don't know for sure on that, but it's possible if you research it.
If you research it. So the research it with the internet today, there's not much you can't find.
Right.
You know, you got the biggest library in the world mm-hmm. at your fingertips anymore. Mm-hmm. So anyway, 1-888-221-8990. Have you heard of these VA grants for
No, we pretty much stick with the VA loans, but I know that whenever we contact the VA, they're more than helpful.
They're
very good to deal with. If you can navigate their phone system and get in touch with the right person, they'll give you all the information you need.
Yeah. Again, the programs are there. These people are working for the government. They're getting paid a salary, and their job is to help people.
Mm-hmm.
So when we take somebody that says, hey, we're going to move down to Florida, and they're trying to get them subsidized, I've seen where there's organizations out there that try to get people approved for these things. And I've had a bit of a waltzing period where I was not too happy with what they were trying to accomplish. But one of them, Vince, was to set up an irrevocable trust.
Oh, irrevocable. Mm.
And they took all of their assets away from them into an irrevocable trust that somebody else was in charge of, which is supposed to be a relative that likes you. that might help you, but all of a sudden you're broke and you can't reverse it once it's done. So I get a little bit antsy and scared when people are trying to, quote, help people.
What would be the purpose of an irrevocable trust? I mean, everything I've seen is, have been revocable trusts.
It's mostly estate planning techniques. But because of what it does is it takes the whatever asset you have and literally takes it away from your control.
You don't own anything.
You don't own it. It moves over here. Somebody else, a trustee, is named, and then successor trustees are named inside it. But it's not your money. You're not in control of it. The actual document or agreement itself, that trust, is what controls and the trustee and the powers that are given to the trustee.
Think about a lawsuit. If you have no assets, I mean none, because you're broke, they can sue you all they want. Can't take any income from you. They can't take anything because you don't own anything anymore. Because now everything is in this, quote, irrevocable trust. Irrevocable means it can never be changed.
Yes, but even as irrevocable, Joe, you could set it up so that the grantor can take income out of it.
Almost always they do
that. If you have a creditor, they could still, I imagine, I'm not a lawyer, I imagine they could still come after some income if you've got a steady flow.
Now, there are some wonderful things, you know, that if you have income from Social Security, approved pensions, or annuities, those cannot be attached in lawsuits.
Yeah, once it's there, I imagine it can't once it's in an account. But what about as it comes in, as income?
O.J. Simpson's
I think it's protected.
O.J. Simpson's the best example I can give you. He gets $25,000 a month from an NFL retirement annuity. They can't touch that 25 grand. However, if he puts that money in the bank and makes interest on the 25,
then they can get
it. They go to the interest.
Yeah.
Yes. But not the deposit.
Not the 25. So I mean it's just an interesting thing the way the government works. Like we it's not a joke, but in the state of Florida, your homestead is protected from attachment by creditors. Now your homestead is your house. So here you've got this $150,000 house and you go bankrupt and you get to keep your house and that's exempt from attachment by creditors. But in the state of Florida, a homestead can be up to 160 acres and you can have
a $20 million
and
house?
You can have two.
Well, that's why we're the bankruptcy capital of the world.
That's right. And you can have two residences on that thing. So when the Enron guys were going bust, they were building 15 and 20,000 square foot houses on their homestead before the thing all collapsed. And of course, they never got all the way through it. But then also you have to look at intent to defraud. In which kind of, that's a clue.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's just an interesting.
That's thing. Like the people who try, Joe, just before their elderly parents are about to go into a nursing home. Oh, yeah. They take all the money out, you know, within 6 months.
You know, that might be something to discuss, too, because that VA program may have a look-back period as well.
It does not. But here's what happens. If you transfer all your assets today into this, my understanding now, this is my understanding because I've sat through this thing twice now. You see the irrevocable trust takes everything away from you. You're now broke. There is no look back. There is a big look back, 5 years for Medicaid,
right,
for nursing home.
Right.
5 years for nursing home.
It doesn't matter whether you gift it to your kids or
it makes no difference what you do. They got a 5-year look back. Now there are exceptions. One of the big exceptions is a husband and wife, and let's say they've got $100,000 in the bank in a CD, and the wife's got to, or the husband's, I don't care who, one of them's got to go in a nursing home. The other one can take that $100,000 CD and convert it into at least a 5-year immediate annuity. 5 years, meaning they're going to get a check every month for the next 5 years. And because it's now set up as an annuity pension, it's exempt. So it's a loophole in the law that sometimes people take advantage of. Now, legal is what it is.
And also a lot of people buy insurance, Joe, to cover them for 5 years. So what they do is they do gift it right before. And then from year 1 to 5, they have insurance to cover their nursing home costs.
And then they apply for the grant
or the Medicaid.
Here comes again. All these things you have to be able to qualify for. Normally, health is a big problem, whether it's life insurance, long-term care insurance, whatever. People say to me, Joe, what about long-term care insurance? How old are you? I'm 80. What's your health? Not too good. It's going to cost you $25,000 a year to get a $20,000 benefit.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's not worth it. Insurance companies don't like you when you've got one foot on a banana peel and the other foot sitting in an electric eel.
Oh, you mean you're not a good risk? Well, they don't underwrite you too well.
They don't underwrite you too well.
Yeah, let's
You know, I see these ads, and Mike, you've seen them too, and Vince. People say, no qualifying for life insurance. You can get $25,000 life. No
burial
insurance. No nothing. Yeah. Then if you look carefully in there, it says for the first 2 years, if you die tough, you don't get anything.
Oh, well,
you got to last at least 2 years.
That's terrible.
So there are rules. Let's face it. Insurance, if you're a drunk driver, you're going to pay more for car insurance. If you're a good driver and you don't have tickets and accidents, you pay less. So insurance is based on risk. The higher the risk, the more you're going to pay, if you can qualify at all. 1-888-221-8990. So the simplified tax code, next year it'll be 78,000 pages.
Absolutely. I don't have a lot of...
What?
Maybe I'm just getting cynical, Joe, as I get older, but...
What do you mean, maybe?
As long as you have mostly lawyers in the Congress...
Oh, boy.
And you have a huge lawyer lobby...
Of course,
Washington.
Most of them are.
And you're not going to put a bunch of tax lawyers out of business.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Point is...
It's not going to happen. I mean, it's just being real. I'm just being practical about it. It's not going to happen.
I would bet that the tax code is going to be modified this year.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, but also you have CPAs who have a pretty decent lobby as well.
They get upset. CPAs have wives that have cars.
I don't want to pick on the lawyers, but you know, fact is that the ones that are writing the laws are lawyers.
Hey, what's new in the mortgage business other than the fact the USDA program's still there and...
We have the USDA program. It's not available everywhere, but all of Martin County qualifies for it. It's 100% financing.
Yeah, that's a beautiful thing. You
know, the VA is 100% also.
Yeah,
right?
That's what I was just going to say. The only thing that's better than the USDA program is a VA loan. If you're a veteran, especially if you're a disabled veteran,
you can
qualify for 100% financing with no funding fee, no VA funding fee.
Wow, that's excellent.
Where even if you're a veteran, I mean, the funding fee is still reasonable.
Yeah.
If you've never used your VA benefits before, it's a little over 2%. And if you have used your VA benefits before, it's a little over 3%.
Can't imagine it'd also be kinder to you, right, Mike? I mean, if you went behind, if you got a little behind on your payments, imagine if you're a disabled vet, they might work with you a little bit.
Well, no, because all these loans are serviced by the banks, too. I mean, you're not making your payments to the VA.
I'm not talking about but who ultimately has a decision whether to foreclose?
The people who service it.
Yeah. The services?
And they're required. They're required,
rules.
Required to foreclose it.
Yeah, if you're Italian and you're a CPA, they foreclose fast.
Well, there's no doubt about that. They want to get you before the money leaks out.
But believe me, they're not making 100% loans in order to be lenient on you if you're going to
I understand. I'm just saying it's the Veterans Organization for Veterans. I thought that maybe it might be a little different for them.
So much for that.
You just showed me it's purely financial, and they gave you enough of a break up front.
And they do have to treat it like a business. That's the only way the program lasts.
Unless they sell it to Fannie Mae or something.
Well, VAs don't.
They're insured by the VA.
And that's a different ballgame.
I'm saying
USDA, same thing. Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac stand on their own, right? But the VA stands on its own, and the USDA stands on
absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, the government stands behind them. Time of crisis, because they stood behind them during the recession.
Exactly. 1-888-221-8990. We need a couple more phone calls before the day is over. We got 15 minutes or so, right?
You know what's back, Joe, is what they call them non-QM loans.
Which is non-qualifying.
Right. Well,
kind of.
Qualified mortgages are what's available through the banks, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA. But now they have these loans called non-QM loans, which is another way of saying subprime loans.
Ah.
Right.
But you can't say subprime anymore because
that's a
bad thing. You don't like those words.
Yeah. No. Right.
We're going to change the words.
In reality, they're back.
Yeah.
They're back. And they're not as lenient as they used to be, but they do have a niche. You know, when you had if you had a foreclosure, short sale, bankruptcy, there's mandatory waiting periods for Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, FHA, VA. Well, now they have these programs that have 1 day out of bankruptcy, 1 day out of foreclosure. You can qualify for another mortgage.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing. Wow. Yep. So you think that they would change the title, Joe, non-qualified mortgages. I mean, that's like saying, well, you don't qualify anywhere else. You can qualify here.
You know who started the first non-QM mortgage companies?
No,
it's the people who set up the CFPB initially.
Oh.
after they set up all the rules, they left and they started a non-QM mortgage company on Wall Street.
That's so funny.
You know, so they can still package these mortgages and still sell them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's nothing new.
I don't disagree with them 100% because, you know, there are bad things that happen to good people.
Of course.
You know, if you had a situation where you had to file a bankruptcy, but now you've alleviated yourself from all that debt, you're now in a better financial situation than you were before.
You know, you could have literally $1 million worth of medical expenses that are not covered by insurance, and the only way out of it is to go bankrupt. I mean,
in fact, that's the biggest.
Sometimes they'll write them off.
Bankruptcy now.
Let's take another call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes. How are you doing?
Very good.
All right. I'm going to ask a question, and I have a ministry. I have a 501c3. So I want to know what can I do to get a grant, if I need a grant for the church.
Okay, do you have a church right now?
Yes.
Okay. What you want to do is go online and plug in, just do a search that says grants for 501c3s.
Okay.
And just do that on a search engine and start. Now there's no easy way to do this. This is like going to the library. Without a librarian, you're the librarian now, and you're going to do a search that way. And when you get into more and more detail, at some point, you would probably need to have a CPA or somebody like that help you do the paperwork or whatever it might be. Once you see what you can qualify for.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm glad you called.
You're welcome.
Thank you,
caller.
Yeah, you know, it's
you're probably better off with somebody who do the grant writing for you.
If you don't know what's available,
you're not gonna do the grant writing yourself. You're gonna have to get somebody to help you with that grant writing.
Someone that's done that before, because for instance, if you have a church, let's say you have a 501c3, your own church, not part of a denomination, and you're looking for money, the question is for what?
Yeah,
most grants. And I'm going to say private foundations, because the government certainly isn't going to do that. And if they do, you don't want them involved.
Right.
But in private foundations, what they want to do is fund programs. They want to fund ministry. You want to feed the hungry, help the homeless, all these compassionate type things. There's a lot of money out there in private foundations for that. You have to find out who's giving money for what. And then the parameters of your applications, because they all need your request to come in a certain way.
Let me ask you this. You did grant writing. Mm-hmm. When you researched to find which ones were doing grants, did they send you a package on how to apply, or did you have to?
Many of them, they gave you application process, and they told you what they would do if
you
sent them what they wanted you to send them.
There you go.
Let
me ask you another thing. Now, this fellow that was just calling in, he sounded Spanish, must be my guess. Are there certain areas and certain one of these grants that help, let's say, Hispanic-based churches more than non-Hispanic? I mean, are there such a thing?
Well, I can't say I've done any grant research recently, but because there's a huge explosion in ethnic churches today, and especially in Hispanic groups, and also Haitian churches
there you
out
go.
There.
Right.
And that with the development of these churches, there are special needs that people have. So I'm just going to guess that there probably are some private foundations out there oriented to providing funds to help.
For certain ethnic group churches.
Now, often grants will not pay for your salary.
Right.
They will not pay necessarily for capital improvements. But resources, you'd have to go to the grant source and see what they cover.
So what I'm trying to do is to say, okay, what about a person that is having a hard time speaking English? That's not their first language. If their first language is Vietnamese or if they're Haitian or if they're Hispanic, whichever it might be, there are people that can communicate with them.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Very much so.
Good.
Yep.
Well, you know, this is a whole different avenue that we never talk about here. What happens with one of the perks of getting old, you bump into a lot of different things when you're trying to help different people, whether it's taxes or financial advising. And I I've got a number of Haitian clients, and I've got a number of clients that are originally from Jamaica and a number from Puerto Rico, and each is a different wrinkle when it comes to saving and what they're going to do and how they're going to do. It's an interesting.
Sort of like that insurance company slogan, right?
Which
we know
is,
a lot because we've seen a lot or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, we covered that dog driving the car, right? Past it. It didn't run over. What's that golfer's name in the commercial? Lives down the street here. Ricky Fowler. It was kind of cute commercial. You see the one I'm talking about?
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Dog's in the car and a squirrel jumps across the car and the dog jumps up on the steering wheel and hits the shift lever, mm-hmm. puts it in gear and off it goes. And there's a dog standing on top of the steering wheel and it drives right past Ricky Fowler on the golf course. And Ricky Fowler looks up and yells, "Four!" And a car bashes into another car. Anyway. Just and as farmers, insurance companies, right. And we covered that.
Yeah, we covered that.
They covered right. that. 1-888-221-8990. I've had a couple of different circumstances in the last couple of weeks when it came to people that have retirement money involved with an existing company, and they left that company. Now, it wasn't necessarily a 401k. It was an approved retirement plan. And if you ever notice, whenever somebody wants to leave a company and take that money away from that company and right. that retirement plan, this is not the easiest thing to do. I call it the golden rule, he who has the gold rules. And they don't make it easy to get it. But one yeah. of the things that they are especially good about is saying, "Are you married?" And if you say yes, then they say, "Oh, we need your spouse to agree in writing, notarized, to whatever you want to do with that money." Well, my spouse won't agree to it. Well, then you can't have it.
There you go.
Just that simple.
Well, they're trying to avoid litigation down the road.
Well, here, let's take another one. Same person retires from this company and got that money sitting in a thing. And they say, "Are you divorced?" That's even worse than being married.
No, because now you have to get the divorce.
Now you have to pay the divorce decree. No. You'll like this one in a second. We'll talk about it.
Yeah, I like this.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hello.
Okay. Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. I have a question. I don't know what the theme of the program really is. I heard about veterans and different things, and I don't know if this pertains to the theme of the program, but I have a son. He was born legally blind, optic nerve damage on both eyes, and they're doing stem cell treatment. They're very expensive.
Well, boy.
Is there such thing as help, any help for that kind of thing? Is there a way to search for that? Or am I completely out of the scene?
No, honey, you're never out of the scene. Let me tell you, we feel guilty if we don't know the answers to everything. But my situation is this. Stem cell treatments have become a very, very normal way of treating things and have been accepted by more and more insurance companies and more programs. I would bet anything that there is somebody out there, some organization out there that can help you with this treatment for your son. Especially if you know the technical term for his condition and what it takes to do.
I do.
And then I'm back again to go on the internet and you plug in literally his condition. And then after you plug in that condition, certain people are going to come up and you're just going to have to start doing research to look for assistance and or grants specifically for that condition. Because very often, there are charitable organizations that are set up specifically for that, that may be in California that we would never know about because you're in Florida, that would be available to help you with that circumstance. But the reality is this. You need to do the research yourself online, and as you progress into that, we would be glad to help you in any way we physically can because we have an attorney on staff, we have a CPA, we got mortgage people, real estate people, Joe Martek's a financial advisor. Any way we can help you achieve your goal. But start doing some research and then you can call the radio station anytime and they'll give you my number or Vince's number or anybody's number and we'll help you any way we can.
Yeah, I've done the research for the treatment. I know exactly how stem cells work. I know exactly why they work. And it just seems that in the treatment in the United States, it seems like is the one that has the least progress. Like you have to go to Bangkok, or you have to go to Thailand or China, or, you know, Beijing, things like that. But there are some here. I already have the medical research done. So what you're saying is that I go and say grant.
Yes.
For that condition, I have to put the word grant in there.
Or a charity or a nonprofit, those words,
okay,
for assistance,
right,
for that condition. And you're going to just, okay, have to add more of that research and keep looking for synonyms to that wording. A nonprofit organization specifically for your son's condition. Different words. And and when you run out, it's called, I wish we had a thesaurus here that had extra words for synonyms, because very often the internet won't help you unless you put in the right word.
That's okay. I'll look for, and I put synonyms for grant, synonym for charity, and I'll know, you know,
you understand what I'm saying.
I can do that.
All right, girl.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
All right.
Okay.
Good luck.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye.
Well, we're just about out of time. 1-888-221-8990. I'm just going to say, they want divorce decrees if you're divorced. Because in the divorce decree, it might say that you have to give up half your pension or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Caller, you're on the radio. It's Joe Martek.
How you doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Good. I have a question about an all-in-one mortgage.
Go ahead.
I don't know much about it.
Well,
I don't know if you
can you define what you mean by all-in-one mortgage? Is it are you trying to consolidate debt?
No, I've heard about these before. I guess it's been a big in Australia. I guess where it's linked up to some kind of checking account. And again, I always thought it was a scam, but I was, you know, apparently you guys are very.
It sounds like it's some kind of. Like a home equity type of loan where you use it as a checking account. There were some programs available several years ago where you can link the home equity loan to pay your bills, and then you would deposit, say if you had automatic deposit from your employment, that would go instantly in that account to pay it down. And there were some benefits to the way that it amortizes.
Because it apparently pays down it saves you an interest.
Yeah, they kind of came and went about, you know, right about when the recession was coming up, and people were kind of using the equity in their properties. But obviously, after the recession hit, that kind of went away because people's equity went away.
What about, how old are you, caller? How old are you?
I'm 40.
Okay. Forget the
never
next
owned a home.
Forget looking, you own your house free and clear.
No, I've never owned a home. I'm looking to buy.
Okay.
I have no debt.
Let me give
so
you.
I'm looking.
Let's got a pencil handy.
Actually, I'm trying to make dinner, but sure, let me get one.
I'll give you Mike Paulus's phone number. You can give him a call tomorrow during the day, and Mike can talk to you about financing and see what you can accomplish.
Are you ready? It's
okay.
It's 772.
What's the last name? I apologize.
Yeah, it's Paulus, P-O-L-L-I-S, phone number 772-285-0315.
I missed the last one. 1-5?
Correct.
So let me just repeat that. 772-285-0315.
Correct.
Yeah, give Mike a call tomorrow and let him see what he can accomplish for you, because we can't do
it. I'm always, you know, trying to shake any tree I can and learn as much as I can. I'd like to buy something. So,
and we're out of time, but, you know, he'll give you talk to him tomorrow, and we'll call us next week.
All right, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Take care, caller. Thank you. God
bless. You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team MarTech program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team MarTech is available at 772-678-7725.